Thanks for that fine introduction. As Joan mentioned, I've stood here many, many times. So some deja vu, some ghosts, too many ghosts in this room. It's great to be here. I'm going to read two poems from Fat Jersey Blues. The book, all but these poems, and one or two others are all set in southern New Jersey, where I grew up. These two are not. The first one I'll read is a reply to another poet's poem. Poet's Matthew Dickman, a fine poet, he wrote a poem called Getting It Right. So this is my reply, and this poem quotes him twice, including at the beginning. And the poem has two titles. My Wife's Ass, or You Annoy Me, Matthew Dickman. So this is Dickman. Your ass is a string quartet. No, I read that wrong. Your ass is a string quartet? Which quadrant viola? Which violin? What about the inevitable hairs? Are they somehow the honey yellow floorboards of the metaphorical stage? Merely the gossamer music's heat makes on the gut of bow and string? Your ass is a shopping mall at Christmas, wouldn't get Johnny Depp laid, my wife said, after I recited your ode to body parts as we lay entwined on a Tuesday night in November. Your ass is Mick Taylor's third chorus on Sympathy for the Devil, Madison Square Garden, right before Altamont, I said, relishing the smile I knew I'd get because my wife gets all but a few of my illusions and remains curious about the elusive ones despite years of our warming the same bed. I'm an old head, Matthew Dickman, but you can write. High praise where I come from. Yet please refrain from ass praise for at least a decade and practice decorum about ankles too. So purple in your telling they'd bear not a flea's worth of weight. Like you, I objectify my woman and all her parts because she lets me, knowing I do it regardless. And despite this poem, my wife's ass and our private contemplation of it have always been classically proportioned and bare of metaphor. Setting of this poem will be obvious. It's called Waiting for the Bus in the Reading Room of the Carnegie Library, Pittsburgh, Haggard in a Leather Armchair. I still had the Army surplus field jacket and the beige leather work gloves, 6 of 8 finger seams shot, but rabbit fur lining warm, oily, redolent of smoke. I was happy as I ever got in those days to have missed the 61B that ferried me to a private hell lower in the dank spiral than I can fathom now. I still had the watch cap I bought at Cress and the hunting boots my father gave me, the jeans and flannel shirt of my daily uniform, and the dust motes left of a woman's love and mine. What book did I carry in the jacket's big left pocket? Such consolation to have one ready to hand in the cold. What satisfaction to have a corn muffin in the right pocket and money enough for coffee, and let's say Galway Canal or Daniel Deronda or maybe even Proust to read. How dutiful to watch the clock so as not to miss a chance to sink into the quiet chaos of that chopped up Point Breeze Victorian. Miss Frick lived 4-5 blocks away. The lawn bowlers did their flanneled best on Sunday mornings. On each layover, the pilot fucked a new woman overhead. They shrieked up there over the good coke and each other. I'll read several recent ones, more recent ones. I wish I'd been here to, if I can find them. Yes, wish I'd been here last week to see what I'm I have no doubt, was an amazing reading. I want to read this poem because it uses a title of one of Ed Ochester's books made it into this poem. And it seems to, I have an epigram here that just says, after Ed Ochester, because that when I was working on it, it seemed like, you know what, I think I'm stealing some of the approach and voice from Ed. Steal from the best, as they say. This is called Horticulture. This does take place in a remembered version of southern New Jersey in an apartment that was I lived in for a while. That was half the owner had converted the building. It was a gas station. He converted it into two apartments. I had one. Horticulture. Because Judy had given me for Christmas a lumpen pot she'd pinched and baked right in her kitchen, I tried my first African violet just after New Year's. The cat nosed its four furry leaves, so I braced a 2x6 where fan belts had hung when the place was a gas station. First thing that spring, I dug up a fern at Parvin's, and Billy gave me a wandering Jew. Drilled holes in the bottoms of two number 10 cans of sauerkraut he'd rinsed, and said, bake the soil good and you're set. People gave me stuff all the time then. I started a potato in a pot my mother's geraniums died in. Then hung in white pots I'd eye-bolted to the ceiling an avocado, spider plants, ivy, and a yam. Just in time, the miraculous fertilizer came to market, so I had a jungle up there. What sudden leaves! Then again, I burned an unsuspecting ficus and miniature lemon tree. Billy and Judy taught us all. Having turned the bungalow whose windows spilled golden light onto the asphalt behind Williams Liquors into the land of cocaine. When they threw the windows open in spring, the rustle and rattle of dappled leaves mingled with the blare of Route 47, our careless chatter, and everything I can't remember. A fairy tune sung all through the iron night of winter. Two more short ones. This is for my friend Nancy Corville, called Workbench. I'm not a workbench kind of guy, though I know my way around tools enough to get by, I told Nancy in an email that 20 years ago would have been a letter. It was that contemplative, yet impromptu. She'd photographed her father's workbench, meticulous as my father's. So I said so with unstrained eloquence. From our fathers, my brother took a folding measure and two pair of new work gloves. Our father was nothing if not prepared. I hefted his oldest pipe wrench and put it back where it belonged. Nancy's father still breaks free of care at his beautiful workbench. And finally, rather than continue to grip my teeth, although I'm sure I will continue to grip my teeth at certain current usages, which drive me around the bend. This is another poem with two titles called Some Random Issues or Pharrell Williams Hat. Things are so much more random right now. Don't even start on all the issues everybody has or how hard it is to be so much older than that right now when an incongruous hat, a hat Tom Mix could have had the wardrobe girl fetch from the Denver haberdasher whose brother, the much older son of another mother, rode with the notoriously dapper Bat Masterson, could make a singer a brand ubiquitous and invisible as Kleenex. It's hard to hail from the land of Maypo, a country where one stores one's milk in the frigid air. Neutrons never used to be random. Electrons once orbited. Notice a proton, or it isn't. Even your boys spitting game would have issues with that. Thanks a lot. Thank you.